China. And she was taking her car to a mechanic. So I believe God led me to Tim Hortons, not just for coffee. Her name is Sharon. Lydia, do you remember her? I remember her name still. If you pray for me, pray I will remember my names. I always say, I'm turning 70 this year, so my memory is slowing down. So I have brought some Chinese books on the back. They are for donation. I always give them to my Chinese friends. But I have many little books on different subjects from the Daily Bread organization. Leave them on the table. They're free. Chinese like free stuff. And then we have movie DVDs in Chinese about Jesus. I give them to so many people. And the bilingual New Testaments, Chinese English. You can take them for donation. And these are testimonies of students, some also from Chinese students from UBC that are in this little book. In fact, there's two books. One book this side, one book this side. Just publish it, they're $7. This can encourage you to see what God is doing. I came here 5 years ago. I was looking for God's direction. I did not know if I could even live in Vancouver. But God gave us a house for a very cheap rate. $350 a month. Always the students ask me, how come? And I always say, God. God brought us here. What was the purpose and goal of Jesus? Yes, he died on the cross for my sins. But he also gave us a purpose, a reason to live. To train us to become fishers of men. I did not have to talk to this woman this morning. She talked to me because she saw a Chinese shirt, so I like to wear Chinese. She was curious. She was curious. My Chinese is very limited. 你好. She was from Shanghai. Oh, I have been in Shanghai. I was in China. And I love China. I can say that. Her English was limited. But she has God's word. And she has my address. I said, my wife also can cook Chinese food. Very important. Maybe I will see her again. Maybe you will see her one more. So, Jesus wanted us to be fishers of men. To train his disciples in the greatest task on earth. And he wants to take you. Take you. He wants to use you. Ordinary people. Ordinary people. I even say God used failure. Because I failed at my job 15 years ago and I lost my job. That was sad. I did not know what to do. And God opened the door to reach the international students. He closed one door. And he opened another door. And that is why I am so excited. That is why I cannot stop, even though I'm sad. I was hiking with 750 young people yesterday. I went to Victoria last week. I went to Whistler last week. Climbed the highest mountain. No, that's a lie. I went on the gondola. Why? Why? Because I want to share God's love with international students. So I have a very hard life. Pray for me. Very hard life. So, as you look at Nehemiah, what does Nehemiah do? The first thing he does in chapter 1, some of his brothers, some of his friends came back from Jerusalem. And Nehemiah asked them, what is happening? What is happening in Jerusalem? He asked them this question. So the first step Nehemiah took is he wants to know the situation. The people are discouraged. And God's name is being dishonored. So he looks at the situation. He sees, he hears the situation. We need to open our eyes. When I start to work with international students, someone had to open my eyes. Someone had to tell me, Bert, the world is coming to campus. The world of students are coming to your city. I did not know. My eyes were closed. Someone told me to open my eyes. You must open your eyes. Who is moving next door to you? Who is sitting next door to you when you're drinking coffee? Why are you here? Open your eyes. We have a little club in Douglas College. Maybe 10 students. But the earthquake came to Nepal. And the Christian students said, we should do something. What could they do? Oh, he said, we will sell some cookies. 25 cents, 50 cents, sell some cookies. So my wife spent a day making cookies. And other people brought some cookies. And they sold some cookies. And because they started to do this, other people started to do this. Soon all the clubs were helping to raise money for Nepal. And the Canadian government said, we will double the amount. You know how much they raised? Total. A little group of 10 students. $14,000. $14,000! Oh yes, the Canadian government put $7,000 in. But it started just with a small group. They said, we are international students. Some of us live close to Nepal. We should help them. We must know the situation. That's how when God opened my eyes that international students are coming here, I said, we must do something. When the immigrants are coming here, we must do something. They are lonely. They need help with their English. They want to come to our homes. So, you know, I have 10 bikes. 10 bikes? What are you doing with 10 bikes? Because when students come to my house for dinner, they have to bike first. And so I take them biking. And I show them the beautiful things God has made. And I get my exercise at the same time. So, first step, we must know the situation. But to know the situation, sometimes you must ask questions. So Jesus, he saw the multitudes. And he said, he was moved with compassion. When he saw the multitudes. They were hungry. Disciples said, send them home. Jesus said, you feed them. We like to get rid of the problem. Send them home. Even some Canadians think that we have too many Chinese. Maybe they should go back to China. I never said that. God brought them here. God brought every single person here. And I always tell the students, you think you came here for a good job or a good education. But God brought you here. So you could meet me. So you can meet me and find God. The second step is we should continue in prayer. Whether Nehemiah, when he heard about this, he said, I need to pray. And he spent the whole chapter 1 in prayer. Not for 3 minutes. It says he prayed, chapter 1 verse 4, he prayed many days. And he cried to God. Without prayer, nothing can happen. I meet people many times. I have 900 people on my mailing list. Some of them say, I pray for you every day. The first thing I did when I heard about the students coming to Kamloops, I said, we must pray. And so I organized a monthly prayer meeting. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he said, the harvest is great, the laborers are few. Pray, pray, pray. Matthew 9. When I came to Vancouver, the first thing we did is organize a group of people who will pray for this ministry. Prayer is more important than potluck supper. Oh, when we invite people for potluck, many people come. But when the church invites people to pray, very few people come. But prayer is the most important. This prayer, as he was praying, God began to change Nehemiah's life. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5, we have a story about Peter being put in prison. And the next day, Peter would be killed. What did the church do? They prayed all night. Peter was in prison, but the church was praying. And then God did a miracle. I have seen many miracles. But it's through prayer. We need to pray because we serve a great God. And the great God can do impossible things. Last year I want to go to China to visit my friends. I have no money. I pray. And a lady from Hong Kong I spent 6 weeks in China traveling to Changshan, Beijing, and Shanghai, all free. Because I didn't have to pay for food in China, they also fed me. Pray for us. Pray I will have the strength to keep going by God's grace. Pray that many more students will come to Jesus. So many of them are new babies in Christ. They have many temptations. Pray that they will go strong. Nehemiah also confesses his sins. And he began to experience God in a new way. He was having a comfortable life. I'm just serving the king. I got a good job. The king has given me a nice house. And I live a comfortable life. But in that prayer, God began to speak to his heart. Maybe you're the person that should do this. Don't pray for something unless you're willing to do it yourself. Oh, that person needs Jesus. The students need Jesus. Maybe you should help. All you have, you don't have to go to the university. You can just cook food. There are some people in my Chinese church, they cannot go to university because they have small children, but they can cook nice food so the students will come. When students come to our club, when students come to Jesus, they become Christians. They get up and they share the testimony. And many times, Pastor Albert, you know, they start off with saying, I came here because it was free food. Then I found friends. And then I found Jesus. So that's the steps. So pray, Nehemiah, pray. Step number two. Step number three, finding God's direction, you must overcome fear. Now he is chapter 2. We're in chapter 2. He's going to the king. And the king says, why are you looking so sad? And verse 2 it says, I was very much afraid. Why? Because if the king is in a bad mood, this might be the last day of Nehemiah's life. He might get his head cut off. He was afraid. He could not only lose his job, he could lose his head. Do I have fears? Do you have fears? What's going to happen to our economy? What's going to happen to my job? What's going to happen to my health? Yeah, three years ago I could hardly walk. I had no, my knee was not working. something between the bones. But today I have a new meeting. Now I can walk 10 kilometers and I can bike 30 kilometers. I had fears when I first went to India. Many years ago. One of my big fears was, will I get married? I will be too old when I come back. All the Canadian girls will be gone. I'm already 23 years old. I will come back. I'm 25. Too old. I think I was too old. There's hope for you. So I have to go to India. Then God sent me my wife. My future wife. So there is, I have many fears. If you let fears occupy your life, you will do nothing. In my Chinese church, the pastor was taking some children, a children's program, and there is a supervisor. She had a grade 12 student as a helper. And she said to this helper, help those children cross the street. The grade 12 student says, I cannot cross the street by myself because my parents have never allowed me to cross the street by myself. She was afraid to cross the street, and she's in grade 12. That's why we're not reaching the world. Because we're so afraid. Well, Nehemiah was afraid. He might die. But he wanted to do God's will. He wanted to go in God's direction. So he was ready to die. And so, but he prayed. And he asked the king, he says, this is the problem, and I am available, I am willing to do it, but you must let me leave my job. I want your blessing. I want to take a vacation. Take a break. And help build those walls. So he overcame the fear. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, and through God's help, we can overcome everything. We can talk to our neighbors. We can visit some lonely person in the hospital. We can ask someone, can I pray for you? God will open so many doors when you overcome fear. In the Bible there are 365 fear not. Do not be afraid. Why 365? You get one for every day. God knows your fears. The fourth thing is he took the step of grasping the opportunity. The king said, what do you want? Oh, what an opportunity. What did Nehemiah say? I want to know. I want to do this job. Because God is leading me. So he grasped the opportunity. Like the students, when they heard about Nepal, they said, we will sell some cookies. So I started a new church some years ago. In Abbotsford. Oh, but I did not want this to be just a regular church. What are the people here that are unreached, who are not hearing about Jesus? Who are the people that no one wants to talk to? Abbotsford, many rich people. Many Christians are upper class. I don't want to reach those people. I want to reach the people who are not. Because Jesus loves those people. He loved the leper people and the sick people and the blind people. And I heard that Abbotsford had many prisons. Many prisons, around 4 or 5 prisons. Oh, I said, I want to reach those prisons. And our church, every Sunday we had prisoners on the front row. They were allowed to come out of prison for 3 or 4 hours. Some of them were murderers. And then I took them to my home for lunch. Our church became known for reaching the prisoners. Yes, God wants us to do those things. I had so many prison friends. They say, if you don't want your house to be robbed, become a friend to a prisoner. He will not rob your house, he will rob some other house. So make as many friends to prisoners as possible. In 2002, I met my first Japanese student. She said, who are you? I said, I'm just beginning to work with international students. Oh, she said, then you can help me. I said, you have a problem. She said, I have a big problem. She was living in the wrong home. I said, how will you solve your problem? She said, live in your house. So she came to my house. She became a Christian. And last year I saw her in Japan and spent one day with her. The opportunities to help meet people's needs. So he grasped the opportunity. He said, I will do it. But he needs some help. So the next, last step. Oh, the king said, yes, you can go. He said, wait. I need some help. I need some help. I need some materials to build the walls. Some wood from the trees. And it's a long journey, so I need some protection. There are many dangers. So I need maybe some soldiers to protect me as I travel. And I don't want any. you can have the provisions. He was not a Christian king. He was not from Jerusalem. But God touched his heart. God can even use non-Christians. I have seen so many things like this happen. Ask in faith. Because we have a job to do. We want to see more people in this church. We will want to see so many that the leaders do not know what to do. They have to build another church. They have to make two churches or three churches. We have so many students to reach. So many people that need God's love. When I came here, I needed provisions, I needed protection, and God has helped us in 5 years. I give God all the glory. If you take those 5 steps, your life will change. And you will change the world. You will change people around you. You will change the world. You will change your family. This is what God wants. This is going in God's direction. Nehemiah, he could have stayed in his country. He could have stayed there. He had a good job working for the king. But he was willing to work for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to do some great work for God. Will you do this? Will you take these steps? There are so many needs. So many problems. So many challenges in our society. But if you are God's child and you want God's direction, God's purpose, God's plan, don't look at the problems. If Nehemiah looked at the problem, he would never have gone. If I looked at my age, I was 65 when I came here, I would not have come to Vancouver. I would have gone to California or Florida to retire, to take it easy. But God gave me the vision to come to Vancouver. I never thought I would come to Vancouver. God has done a great work so far. Almost every day I'm seeing God do work, do His work. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you for your word. How Nehemiah took these 5 steps.